Is the Unabomber one person?
Yes.
Is he a conceptual artist or a disturbed individual?
Both.
There was recently an article written in New York about his references to Finnegan's Wake and puns on characters and themes of Finnegan's Wake around the word wood. Is there any truth to that?
Yes.
So no, not many people would believe that.
True.
Yes. So he is part of the Neo-Luddite movement?
No.
Would the Evergreens say he's disturbed?
Yes.
But he's intelligent and a product of maybe advanced education?
Yes, he has a university education.
Yes. All right. So will he be caught?
Yes.
In a long while?
No, across the next 3 months, we'll find out the school from which he graduated, his degree, and his reasons for doing.
So he is sort of thinking conceptually. He's trying to make a theatrical statement.
Yes, but at the same time, he himself is a failed engineer. And because of this, has found it hard to get work across the past several years, is himself not so much anti-education as he is anti-teaching. He feels that he did not get the education necessary that would maintain a lifestyle that he would enjoy.
Yes.
And is disturbed in that aspect and is revengeful and a certain vindictiveness to education and to those in the computing field particularly.
All right. Another topic, is Ebola or Ebola a man-made virus like the AIDS virus?
No.
It's natural.
Yes.
We're supposed to have approximately in August a conference on AIDS by the people behind the scenes who know what's going on, where they were going to announce that they successfully duplicated the AIDS virus.
Yes.
Is that coming still?
Still coming.
Is there a reason why it wasn't in August?
It's one reference, very small reference, but nonetheless, the public announcement comes within a very short period of time.
Before the end of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
There had been a reference to it already?
Yes.
And published? Yes. What was that?
It was to DNA replication of viri for examination purposes.
What kind of magazine would that be in?
It was in the New England Journal of Medicine.
In August?
June.
June, okay. In the case of Marilyn Monroe's murder, there's some new information that came out that someone suspects that the killing substance was put in Monroe through an enema. Is that true?
No.
No, it was put in her mouth. Or how was she killed? I can't remember, according to the Evergreens.
Through the nipple.
With a needle?
With a needle.
Right. Was her psychiatrist involved in setting that up?
No.
Because they're mentioning they're trying to develop the revenge the psychiatrist had because she was dropping him. But that's not true.
Not true.
So then they put the pills in her mouth to make it like an overdose.
Yes.
Right, okay. In the Oklahoma bombing, was there more than the fertilizer bomb in front of the building?
No.
Now, many experts claim that is not powerful enough to do the damage it did, the fertilizer bomb.
If it is done in an open area, you'll find that to a degree that's true, that it's in an enclosed area. The explosion went out in 360 degrees. That which went towards the building caused damage. That which reverberated across from the building opposite. There were smashed windows in that, of course. But the effect of the explosion was amplified by the very fact it was in that enclosedness, you see? The reverberation from the building opposite.
Did the people making the bomb know that out in the open, the first level, the bomb wouldn't do it, but within an enclosed area it would?
Not completely. They knew that it would be amplified to a degree because it was in a somewhat enclosed area. But they did not realize it would make the size of the damage that would do.
Yeah, they were even surprised.
Mm.
You were going to add something?
The building itself was caught from the demolition's perspective at a perfect point because as it exploded, it removed the supporting center structure, allowing the sides to fall in.
Right. So the individuals charged, McVeigh, Nichols, were the ones involved?
Yes.
Were they encouraged by anybody behind the scenes, or is this their own fantasy?
This was... you see, these two... And let's take it from this perspective only. These two were, in their own way, trying to impress the various groups who did not wish them as members. You see, what triggered this was when the two, when they were talking with certain other militia groups, saying that something needs to be done to show an impact of rebellion. The groups first thought, and still think, that this was extreme, but some members taunted these two as to, oh yes, sure you're going to do this. And it was to impress the militia groups as much as it was to create an explosion, you see?
Yes. All right. In the Waco incident, there's controversy over who started the fire at the home, at the ranch. Did the, I guess it's the ATF, whatever team was sent in there, some people think they threw the fire in, or was it started by the Waco residents of the lodge?
It was started inside.
So the government is innocent? The government forces are innocent in any conspiracy here?
In a conspiracy, yes.
And why did they start it inside?
Because it was going to be part a means of covering cracks, part a means of escape, part means of defense.
They didn't understand that it would backfire. They didn't want that.
No, they did not.
It was not a suicide thing.
No.
Okay.
However, the dissension within the group was such that some wanted to call this off. And those, termed them the militant members of the group, shot those members who wanted to leave.
Is that the day of the fire? Or
the day of the fire.
So this traumatic, tragic encounter happened in the morning or whenever, before the day unfolded.
Yes.
So it was an explosion of one day as the end point of the drama.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was a lot of discussion, worry, and gnashing of teeth over what to do, and then they freaked.
Yes, they did indeed. Not completely. Because it would be seen by analysis the fire started in two places almost simultaneously and not within reach of those ground forces that came in. Autopsies show varying times of death of certain individuals that were found underneath the debris. Still indefinitive as to the actual time, but if you take the coroner's outside time, you'll see that they died at least 2 hours before the final attack by the ATF. They killed because some wanted to leave.
The They didn't want. They killed him for trying to leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was seen as a means of commitment. If you stayed, you were committed to Koresh, and if you were wanted to leave, you were not. And united, they said they were going to stand.
So the circumstances of the evidence will never fully reveal what happened.
Never fully.
Yeah.
But it will show that on the outside, the autopsies will show that certain bodies did die at a wider time range than certain others. Those who died principally of burns died at the time of the fire, obviously, because there was no fire before. So time of death can be easily ascertained. But if you look at the autopsies of those who were shot, have shown that the time differs, but not yet complete is examination of all of the bullets in this scene.
Okay. I'd like to move on to, in the Aldridge Ames case, some people say that he was ignored too long and that there was a setup there. Either he's a patsy or he's someone who had a very important role that couldn't be revealed, or very important role, and therefore he was allowed to do what he was doing for a long time. Aldridge Ames, a spy case?
Yes.
Is that true, or was he just a jerk who was doing what he was doing and got caught?
He was a jerk who was caught doing what he was doing, and the CIA was in a state of almost criminal stupidity.
In other words, in a blind spot, a weird blind spot, they missed it.
Not only missed it, they missed it. All of the psychological profiles that have been done and could have been applied were set aside because it was seen that he had certain valuable functions within the organization and realized that the CIA has been under change of command and change of structure, and people were covering other people. There are other people in the organization with problems with alcohol, problems with marriage. These are covered up.
So he got lost in the shuffle.
He got in the defense of the organization and the defense of the individuals of the organization, that which normally would have been under scrutiny was set to one side.
Did he know he was getting an advantage in that situation like that?
He realized that no one was looking.
Right. He might not have known the whole reason why, but he just felt, well, I can continue.
He did.
And so there's no cover-up scandal around. He's not a very important entity.
In actuality, he's proved to be an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Not only to the CIA, but to those who paid him. Because he became so obvious. And then, once caught, talked and talked and talked, implicated and implicated.
Is that information going to come out?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Has it come out yet in any books?
No.
Okay. The next next question is, we talked about Roswell in the recent reading, I think in April.
Yes.
I forgot to ask whether, I mean, they have that apparatus that they don't know what to do with it, they recovered in Roswell. But did they recover any bodies?
They recovered bodies.
Really? Alien bodies?
Yes.
And so so that rumor that they're stored away down there somewhere is true. And some people have seen them?
Some people have.
So within intelligence or Air Force intelligence?
Everyone who could possibly be is.
Oh, have any civilians seen them?
Yes.
So will the public see them someday?
Yes.
Within 5 years?
Within five, yes.
Yes.
You see, the point here is that the Air Force itself does not hold all the expertise necessary to examine an alien structure, whether it be animate or inanimate. So therefore, certain people were brought in to examine and told on certain pieces that they're reverse engineering, which exactly that is.
Yeah, but I don't think
doing.
Bob is aware that the call dropped.
Source material that they were reverse engineering.
I'm here. I'm here, Bill.
All is good. All is good, you guys. I phoned back, and we're just picking up and the other green.
Yes.
Well, what do we miss, Evan? Well, I'll play it at the end.
Okay. We dropped out at Waco. And
okay,
about
good.
Fresh members. Okay.
Formaldehyde.
Are they Boudians?
That we cannot say.
Okay. Voodies is a constellation.
Yes.
It's seven stars?
Seven, yes.
Now, do the Boudians come from one of those stars or all of them?
We cannot say.
All right. You can't say whether it's one or more?
No, not
okay.
at this time.
All right. There's a book about Hollywood and the William Morris Agency that just came out, and the important roles had for many years. But they always bring in the hint of, in the book, there's a mafia influence in Hollywood and a mafia control behind the scenes, maybe into that agency. Is that true? Is there a mafia level?
To some degree, there's influence, particularly into the unions in Hollywood. And that the unions tried to gain control, particularly in the mid-60s, that there was considerable amount of influence onto contracts and the like. And to a degree, the agencies sweetheart deals were made. And especially with certain talent, would go on certain movies, and certain would not.
Would that be more control in the mainstream part of pop culture, where you just get sort of, you don't get a talent like Frank Zappa in the mainstream. You get the Donny Osmonds and the crummy AM versus the more sophisticated FM radio. Would the mafia control more of that AM level?
Yes.
The Kraft cheese level, to so to speak?
Yes, especially in ticket sales, in venue situations, contracts and venues.
And payola?
To some degree, payola. Not as much as once was. It's now more down as contract and contract legitimacies.
Right. When was the payola period? Before Alan Freed in the 50s and 40s?
More then. Oh, absolutely, yes.
Now, also, does the mafia have an influence because they have lots of money that they can launder and invest in entertainment?
Yes.
Yeah. So those who want to make money have to go where the money is.
Exactly.
So they let the mafia come in a bit.
Yes, but the unionization of Hollywood, always remember this, did not necessarily result in good pictures, nor did the influence of the mafia ensure that a picture would be box office gainer. The objective for the mafia was to spend the money on the movies and movie making, and that they would be able to then launder money. But the pictures themselves do not necessarily have to make money.
All right. In the Bill Clinton era, was there any truth to Paula Jones' charges that Bill Clinton exposed himself to her?
Yes.
And so will Sure Case come out after he loses the presidency?
Yes.
So President Clinton is in for a lot of scandal after his reign as president.
After, during, before, yes.
Now, this, is there a secret grand jury or inquiry into Hillary Clinton's investments back in Whitewater and whatever other stuff is implied that they were making deals on, is that going to come out?
Yes. It is impaneled, and it is not secret. It is looking for the entire area. Certain others that were in this situation have already been charged.
So there is truth to the, let's say, right-wing conservative charges that Hillary did some shenanigans in the stock world.
Yes.
And she will be implicated before the election?
It will be there. Much is being saved for the last thrust into the election. But some, and this will be more used by Dole, will try this.
Is Kenneth Starr working for the Republicans and controlling the release for Republican advantage? He's the one responsible for the inquiry.
Yes.
So he's working as a double agent for the Republicans, so to speak.
No, not double agent. Able to leak.
And he wants to get the Clintons. He's not unbiased.
He's going to get the information. And he does not care who finds out. He's not going to manufacture it, but he's not going to keep it hidden either.
But if you're leaking it, you're not releasing it honestly publicly.
True. But you keep the interest up while you're doing it.
Right. And so he justifies saying, I'm just doing my job and I'm impartial. Let the chips fall where they may.
Exactly.
But the public must know, so to speak.
Yes.
So we're going to have an exciting election period at the next year.
It's going to be very exciting.
Do you still see Phil Graham winning?
Yes.
All right. Now let's go back into history. Did the Evergreens know of what's called Catal Huyuk, CatalHuyuk, a strange cultural residue left in Anatolia, where some archaeologists and anthropologists have looked at it and thought it was a more matriarchal society.
In the country of Anatolia?
Yeah, in Asia Minor. It's Catal Huyuk.
Yes.
CatalHuyuk. Approximately when did that civilization exist? Or that society?
4,000 years before the coming of the Nazarene.
Now, in certain circles in archaeology and those researchers, feminists have latched onto the implications of what they found at Catal Huyuk as a matriarchal feminist dream kind of society.
But it was matriarchal, as were many societies in that time. Many were matriarchal, but not a feminist dream, we assure you.
Yeah, because many feminists think that was before the warlike, say, civilizational Western motive started out of Sumeria, 3500 BC, that there was a more peaceful and less dominator-oriented society in Catal Huyuk.
Not true. Not true at all.
They would war on other societies?
Yes. War within themselves. And in a matriarchal society, the women are caught within the matriarchy as much as men are caught within a patriarchy. The freedom is limited, and the society itself is essentially limited into its freedoms. And what we see here is in that society, the matriarchy continued itself by limiting the birth of females.
And it was more matrilineal organized society, and the birth through mother determined status? Is that how you describe it?
Yes, a fair description. But realize, females in an abundance was threatening.
Yeah, and so the leaders, the female leader society, went along with that prohibition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So males were workers, administrators, under the matriarchal pattern, to be sure. But the matriarchal side of this shows, and you'll see it in the, if you were to examine the site even more closely, difficult but nonetheless, that enumeration of males, enumeration of females, males in numbers far outstrip the numbers of females, and that the average 50-50 male-female birth ratio, roughly, in that society, survival at 1 week after birth was 60% males, 40% females.
What was it? A goddess worshipping with female priests?
It was all female in its administrative upper functions.
And religion.
And religion.
All right. The awareness know the word, the grouping called Albigensians in the Pyrenees around 1200 A.D.?
Yes.
And there was the Albigensian Crusade. I think the Vatican, Rome went after the Albigensians.
Yes, they did indeed. And the whole, brought in the Inquisition.
That was the beginning of the Inquisition.
Yes.
Was the Holy Blood, Holy Grail books would say there was something special the Albigensians had developed and Rome was frightened of it. What was the reason they were attacked by Rome?
Free thinkers. They were free thinkers within their own. If you look at the structure of this, you'd see they were a great threat to the orthodoxy of the church. They challenged the right of the church to have the state of worship in which the church wished it, in which the Albigensians themselves wished to make change. If you look this up, you'll see the reason that the Inquisition was there was to reestablish orthodoxy.
Why did free thinking pop up there? Was it due to some inspired individuals?
It was due to some combination of inspired individuals and also inspired writings, and also that they had received from other areas.
Does it link with the Holy Blood, Holy Grail writings? Did they find out some secrets about Jesus?
In that period, where there was the opening of the pillar, that there was the there was that written material which affected others first, not the Albs. The Albs were affected after. But it was the supreme orthodoxy of the church that had the problem with the Alb. They challenged this. If you see from that perspective, you see the threat had to be put down. Revolution is, in fact.
So the pillar, you mean the one the Knights of Knights Templars found in Jerusalem?
Yes.
And so some of the inspiration led to writings, which then inspired the people.
Yes.
And they knew, they had, some of them had read the writings and thought that they could have a different view than Rome.
Yes.
But because it was a mass movement, it had to be suppressed.
And it was.
All right.
As all things happen, rumors exaggerate. And the rumor is that there are a set of tapes that tell secrets. And each tape has a particular secret.
Yes.
Now, where have you heard that story in recent times? Exactly.
Was the Celestine Prophecy influenced by those tapes?
Yes. Not by the content of them, but the
idea. Now, he doesn't know where that idea comes from, but he made that rumor, that idea of steps.
Yes.
As a concept for his book.
Yes. Six tapes. Six ideas.
Are the evergreens going to become a cause celeb someday?
certain circles we would consider that we are, as generally known? Most of it, yes, but some of it not.
You mean now, as generally known?
No, more will be more generally known across the next several years.
You want to say something, Ellie? Okay. Now, the Mayans disappeared because of crop failures and that in 1100, 1200.
Crop failures and illnesses, and particularly loss of water.
Right. Now, the Mayans interacted with some extraterrestrial devices, I think, and the device made everybody frightened when they used it. But in the Inca tapes, the Peruvian tapes, there was no real contact with extraterrestrials.
Nothing was mentioned. Not in those tapes, no.
Oh, there was contact.
But not mentioned in those tapes. Most of them assuredly would not be.
Yeah, but it was not the evergreen stress that the Incas developed their culture on their own.
Yes, we did.
And the Mayans developed their culture on their own.
Yes, we did.
But would you say the Mayans had more interaction with extraterrestrials?
Yes.
All right. And more negative effects?
More negative effects.
Are the evergreens sort of marking and favoring the Incas as the most positive South American culture as opposed to the Mayans and Aztecs?
To a degree, yes.
Yeah.
Each had their own particular talents. But the Inca were able to live longer.
Yes. All right. Now, I'd like to address the institution called the Worldwide Church of God, which puts out the magazine The Plain Truth, and their leader, Herbert W. Armstrong, died in 1986.
Yes.
Now, my friend Nelson Thal is involved with the church, and years ago you told me that he would be influenced by changes in their doctrine and sort of remove himself a bit from the church. Now, he hasn't removed himself, but the doctrine has really changed over the last 3 or 4 years. And I just think a couple of weeks ago they had a plain truth issue about not limiting the Sabbath to Saturday.
Yes.
The Evergreen said the changes in the church would be made to hide something, to hide the control that was always there.
The control issues, yes.
Control issues?
Most assuredly. When Armstrong cast off Clay, who is to lead the church?
Well, they selected Joseph to catch, but what is there a conspiracy going on behind the church and the changing and a motive for changing the doctrine?
Well, some say that it's being done to reduce the orthodoxy of the church so it becomes that much more flexible for the 90s. But in actuality, those promoting this are on a power trip, would be the best description, and are pushing the president into positions that he's not too sure he wishes to be. But we do not see this individual able to prevent this. And that, not that we say that this, yes, there would be a putsch in the church, but we would suggest that there would be a high probability there would be a change of leadership.
To go for more, be more in line with the power trippers.
It's going to divide the church. The church divides into those who do not want these new things and those that do. Now, who's going to preside over this?
Would that bring in Garner Tate Armstrong, the son?
Well, could be. You see the point? The point is that the Armstrong Sr. held a very strong control of the church. This replacement, it could be said to each one of the faithful, look, he wants to change, he's allowing change. He wants to alter the purity of this. Bring in another Armstrong. You see, that would be the cry.
Well, Nelson says that the church is not a cult, it's a total voluntary organization, And he has a good feeling about the way the organizations run.
Yes.
Would the Evergreens agree with that?
To a very strong degree, yes.
So what did you mean in 87 that there were controls behind the scene that are not known very well?
At the administrative level, there was movement against Armstrong. It was considered that Armstrong was too rigid. And the church should open. That's why they chose the individual they chose to open the church more. However, the objections to this are coming, and we see that the push is to get Armstrong's name back into the organization, back into the hands of God, as some would say this.
How does Herbert Armstrong respond to this dilemma over his institution?
What he says is, unless there's some consistency, it will not exist. That's his point.
And he would like it to continue?
Yes.
All right.
But not the changes. Change in faith and values of faith cannot change. Cannot. Possibly extending a Sabbath. But even this is breaking of a covenant, so he says, and there can be no questions as to faith.
Do you see the same faith that will come to the Vatican happening to the Worldwide Church over the next 100 years?
Yes.
I'm just going back to the Chatelhoik point. There was, the goddess religion was the old religion?
It was the old religion, yes.
And that is a fact that it was all over the world?
Well, yes, predominantly female.
Was that a an astrological effect?
Partially, but it was the reading of everything from the matrilineal aspect.
Can you pause 1 second, please?
Okay, I'm just getting in position.
Any planetary influence at all. In fact, it's almost as though the skies had forgotten man. But as far as females were concerned, the moon was in a certain position. It was her time. In fact, many of them were named after, not the name that they were given at birth, but the time they began their menses and which part of the moon it was. And so we would say that she is 17th day, and she is 23rd day, and she is 19th day. And this was the date on which the menarch was noted. And you see, this was their relationship for the moon. For then, for the remainder of their lives, they would be under the influence of a moon which men did not.
Did they use knowledge like the great mathematicians in those cultures?
The later ones did not have the ability to understand it.
But the great mathematics came from Atlantis?
Yes.
And they had a great understanding of cycles.
An understanding of cycles, most assuredly.
So the cultures more closer to 10,000 B.C., we're closer to the knowledge, but it faded as you get down to 2000.
Yes, it does indeed.
All right, I'd like to contact Mae Brussell.
We locate Mae Brussell Evergreens, born 1922, died 1988, October 3rd, and she lived in California in Carmel. We locate Mae Brussell.
Oh, yes, we have this one, yes.
Hello, Mae.
She says, hello, but she also adds, certain of those things that she believed were not so. But nonetheless, she says, it's worse than she thought.
What's worse?
Conspiracies.
Oh, yes. There are so many of them.
So many of them. And some of the ones that she thought weren't. And some of the things that she did not observe, she suddenly realized that there's patterns here. And she says, it's worse than I thought.
yeah, you were considered extreme yourself by others.
Yes. He says yes.
But that means that you're...
She says, look at the Mexican dollar. That happened through a matter of someone tossing a coin, a peso, in the air. She says, this was random happenstance? It's all in the explaining, she says. You can explain it one way, and it sounds so logical. But when you look at it from another way, you realize somebody made a considerable amount of money off this.
But that means there are so many conspiracies, but that means your archives are very valuable.
Yes.
Indirectly.
Indirectly, yes.
Now, were you aware of me meeting with Tom Davis in August?
Yes, she has all this.
You were there. You were monitoring it.
Yes, indeed.
Now, you know, Tom is ill, and there's a problem between Tom and Cayenne. You told me, a year ago or so, that you thought the archives should go to Vancouver, to Cayenne's place. Tom doesn't think so, and were you there when I spoke to Tom about this?
I
told him I'd speak to you. I don't know if he believes it, but he's open-minded to a point. And I said, I'd ask you, what is your opinion of what we should do with the archives?
Put them in Vancouver because they'll be safer there. The whole point is safety.
Now, Tom feels that legally he has the final say where the archives go.
Yes, of course he does.
So we have to convince him.
Do it for safety.
How will I tell him that? Is there a threat against it?
What she says is, how many fires are accidental these days? And what would happen if there were a, quote, accidental, unquote, fire?
All right, well, Tom will probably hear this section. What would you say to him directly, to Tom?
Better than any would be to make a duplicate of everything and hide one. That would be the better.
In other words,
it's too expensive and too time-consuming.
What is too expensive?
To duplicate everything.
It would be, well then, but you're saying to duplicate everything.
That would be the best thing, would be to duplicate it and hide one.
But that can't be done.
No, so therefore the better would be to put it into Vancouver and make sure no one knows. Keep this a secret.
In other words, you're seeing the archives are under a threat in a certain level.
More threat than you realize.
Is that because somebody has gone into the archives and looked at them that we didn't suspect?
It's not that. What she says is this. It's becoming a much open society. Much more open. And because of that, certain people worry about repositories of knowledge.
The genie's out of the bottle.
The genie is out of the bottle. What is best, move it to Vancouver. Do not tell anyone.
That means we wouldn't take it to Kyarn's property.
Can do. But why should everyone know about it?
Yes.
Keep it as secret as possible.
For 5 years?
Until some of it is more transcribed. Tomorrow, something is going to work on it.
For computer disk and things?
Yes, yes.
So hide it until we get it on computer, so to speak.
Preferably. There are often accidental fires. Quote, unquote.
All right. Well, thank you for the warning, May. So I should stay involved with that?
Your choice, but we would suggest so.
And the Evergreen see what May sees?
What we see is that if this is not moved, there's a high probability that it can be damaged.
Okay.